Hey guys. Cheese, I just invited you to co-host. And Rob, I'm guessing you're from the Blippos profile.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I'll make him co-host as well. Sweet.
Hey, everyone.
Hey. Wait for a few more people to roll in before we start up. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good? I'm good, man. Very excited for this discussion.
Yeah, same here. It's been a while since we've kind of been out there, so happy to talk about proof of work mining.
Yeah, let's wait a few more minutes here and we can get into it. Maybe I'll tweet out a reminder. In the meantime, maybe you guys could introduce yourselves for the few listeners we have here.
Yeah, sure. I'll start off. So I'm Rob, also known as ROB on many social platforms. I've been working with Karat for quite some time now. We're cheese enthusiasts for, oh boy, I've been over a year. Obviously we've been part of the Getblock team, and we worked on the Smart Pools, launched that. And obviously wanted to continue the vision of decentralizing mining. So here we are, we're continuing that path with the Lithos protocol.
Awesome. And cheese?
Yeah, so I'm cheese enthusiast. Yeah, so I've been the main developer. I was at Getblock, and now I'm going to be the main developer at Lithos. And I've been working on this whole idea for quite a while now, about smart pools and NISPs and all that different stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much me.
Awesome. And yeah, just for people who might not know, Getblock was a mining pool on Ergo that up until recently they were doing smart pools and sub pools and doing some really innovative things with proof of work mining on Ergo. And unfortunately, just due to infrastructure costs, the pool shut down maybe a month ago. And now we're here with an entirely new idea called Lithos Protocol. And yeah, it's a good place to begin. So maybe you guys can just sort of briefly explain what Lithos is and how does it differ from a mining pool or how mining pools currently work.
Yeah, sure. I'll take this one. So, first I think the best way to start is, what is the kind of breakdown of a mining pool, right? What is a mining pool? In a sense, it's basically a bunch of miners, proof of work miners. They use their GPUs or, various other different, equipment, but, in this sense it will be GPUs mining on Ergo. They'll use mining software to connect to a mining pool, right? And within that mining pool, they'll basically submit shares, and their shares will be basically their submission towards finding a potential block solution. And then the miners are then, basically rewarded based on, how many shares they've submitted to the mining pool. And that would be all in proportion to all the other miners in the pool. So it's basically a percentage of your contribution to the pool. And then based on that, they would be rewarded. And, that's typically based on when a block is found, right? So, in most of the payout schemes that most pools use, rewards don't usually happen until blocks are found. There are some other pools that, will pay, regardless. Some of the larger pools use some of those schematics because they know they'll constantly find blocks. But in a nutshell, that's a mining pool, right? And you know, when you look at a mining pool from, you know, more of a developer standpoint, there's really three to four main components of a mining pool, right? There's the UI, the dashboard, which is kind of the front-facing, you know, piece of the software, right? That's where, you know, miners kind of connect to. They're able to see their stats. They're able to see everything about, you know, the work that they're putting into the mining pool. You know, and when we look at these things, we say, you know, how are they centralized versus being fully decentralized, right? In proof of work mining, you know, you want everything to be as fully decentralized as possible, right? So with the UI, I mean, that's, you know, it's a standard hosted website, right? So I mean, of course, it's using, you know, centralized aspects. However, most mining pools do provide their API to the general public. So, you know, a miner could easily, you know, take that data or that API and make their own UI. So, I mean, from a decentralized standpoint, I would say, you know, a UI can be somewhat decentralized. Then we get into some of the more, you know, back-end aspects of the mining pool, right? So there's the stratum, the node, and then, you know, also the persistent database are kind of the three things that make up the back end. The stratum basically handles the miner's connection, right? And then that broadcasts the accepted shares that they have, as well as the block height for block candidates. So the stratum is basically just, you know, processing shares and also connecting the miner to the pool. There's the node, right? Which we all know about the node, you know, what a node is, and they, you know, it's mainly fully decentralized is from, you know, my viewpoint, because one node alone, you know, it doesn't really do anything, right? You need multiple nodes. They are peer to peer, so that's inherently decentralized. And then you get to the persistent database, right? And that's really, you know, kind of the what I would consider the most centralized aspect of mining as a whole. And that database is it's used for several aspects, but it's mainly used for the processing of miner shares and their work, the payouts, and then all the data related to the miner. Their address and how much shares they submitted, how many payouts they get, that's all controlled within a persistent database. And that database is always owned by the pool operator. And you know, think of it as, you know, all this work, all this information and data that's being collected, just imagine it goes onto a big spreadsheet, right? And there's columns and there's rows and there's headings, and you know, it lists all this data in a nice big spreadsheet. That's really what the database is. So if you think of a spreadsheet, right, you could easily go into, you know, the rows and the columns, and you can change that data, which, you know, is kind of, you know, it's disenchanting in a way when you think about it, because a pool operator could easily go in there and manipulate that data. And, you know, at times, really, it's just, you know, you're trusting the pool operator to do the right thing. And granted, there's a lot of big pools out there. They have big reputations. You know, they necessarily wouldn't do that. But, you know, again, going back to looking at proof of work mining as a whole, that's a very centralized aspect of mining, right? And then, so what Lithos is looking to do, actually, before I go into that, so, you know, as we mentioned, we are, you know, previously we worked for and hosted a mining pool. You know, we obviously solved some of those challenges, you know, trying to decentralize mining. You know, we were able to get payouts and a lot of the miner data, you know, to be processed and on the blockchain using smart contracts. But the big thing was the share processing, right? So what Lithos is looking to do from a high level, and then we'll get into the details here in a minute, is basically to, you know, utilize the blockchain to process that share data using NIFs and some of the other, you know, tools that Corrado has been building, to put that data on chain, again, making it, you know, completely transparent, you know, removing the pool operator, so to speak, for, you know, their control over the persistent data, and, you know, obviously making that data more trustless as a miner connects to the pool and they're mining. So that's, you know, again, high level. I spoke a lot there, so I'll stop and you know, let me know if you have any questions.
No, that was great. Yeah, it's a funny thing. Like, mining pools aim to be, cryptocurrencies aim to be as decentralized as possible, but there's this big centralized bottleneck that goes into mining pools. that we kind of just ignore for the most part, aside from basics and all that's a different conversation. But yeah, so basically the idea is, from my understanding, all of the centralized data that is required for tracking the information that miners put into the pool goes on chain, so it's decentralized, and there isn't that entity sort of able to edit that data and make changes if they wanted to. To a miner, or you know, to somebody more involved in this space, the value there might be obvious, but let's talk about the value of Lithos. What does this add to mining that a miner might find attractive and might bring them to your protocol?
Yeah, and again, I'll start high level, and then I think, you know, we'll let kind of Karat jump in with some of the, you know, the fine details and specifics. But, you know, me being, you know, a miner and, you know, kind of, you know, obviously being involved with this protocol, I mean, to me, there's several aspects. Obviously, you know, full decentralization, the transparency, you know, being able to provide trustlessness. I mean, that's all, you know, obviously great things, you know, that a miner would appreciate, right? But I think as we, you know, kind of peel back some of the layers is what's really behind this protocol. You know, there's a true DeFi aspect that, you know, with the collateralization that we'll get into in a little bit, that's also kind of inherently built into this protocol. And I think that opens the door for, you know, a lot of opportunities, not only with, you know, what can be collateralized, right? You know, initially you think ERG and, you know, there'll be some collateral. And again, we'll get into the details of this maybe, you know, kind of out there. But, you know, ultimately, you know, the end game is that, you know, with this collateralization aspect of the protocol, you know, projects will have the opportunity to not only collateralize ERG, but collateralize their tokens and use that in a way, you know, such as FEMO, right, that we kind of used with our previous GetBlock program, you know, where a project could distribute their tokens in a fair and decentralized manner. So, I mean, to me, I think it goes beyond just what's the value to miners. I think there's also going to be a lot of value that will, you know, provide, you know, value to just the general public in the DeFi space.
Awesome. Kira, maybe you can talk about some of the details that were mentioned. Like in the white paper, it sort of talks about three components. There's the NISPs, the collateralization, and the token. And we've already kind of mentioned the collateralization, but I think that area could use some clarity. And also NISPs, I suppose. I mean, just talk about all of it. Like, what how do those three pieces fit together in your mind?
Yeah, so that's a big question. But let's start with collateralization, because we just talked about that, right? So what really the point of collateralizing or creating collateralized mining pools is that, you know, in a normal mining pool, you have, you know, the pool operator and they have their node and they're sending out all the block candidates to all these miners and they kind of choose what goes in the block, right? So the pool operator, they choose what transactions go in the block. They're able to choose what votes go in the block, which is pretty relevant for Ergo, where you vote on different EIPs. And really, they have complete control over the block and what's going on with it. So the point of collateralizing is that any miner can run their own solo node and still take part in the pool. And by doing that, miners are able to gain access to things like MEV, where they can choose the order of transactions and kind of gain value out of ordering them in a certain way. Besides that, they're able to choose their own votes. So currently, with mining pools, you're kind of, you know, if you're mined to a mining pool, you're kind of at the behest of them on what they want to choose for a certain vote. So if you remember EIP 27, which was kind of a pretty big deal for miners, I'd say, in terms of the emission schedule, mining pools really chose what vote they placed, whether it's a yes for EIP 27 or a no. With Lithos and with collateralized mining pools, miners are able to choose their own votes because they're producing their own blocks and putting it on the blockchain. And they're doing that all while still receiving the benefits of pooling. Now, there's something important about collateralization here in that miners are usually able to be able to mine without having to own any ERG. That's kind of one of the big benefits of proof of work, in that you don't need to interact with an exchange like in proof of stake in order to start securing the network. Collateralization does require there being, you know, some block reward being present. So to kind of prevent that requirement of miners having to own ERG, we can create sort of a third-party system where lenders are providing collateral to miners, and then miners use that collateral and they pay it back using block reward. And what that allows is really this entire market of, you know, collateralization and miners. And it supports an inherent DeFi market within Lithos. So lenders are able to gain pool fees by collateralizing their ERG, and miners are able to use this collateral and choose what they want inside their own blocks by setting up their own node and then, you know, maybe adding their own MEV client or choosing certain boxes of storage rent to spend. It really opens up a ton of different bonuses for miners to be able to gain and, you know, gain profit from.
That's super interesting. Yeah, that's kind of the part that I'm most interested in as somebody who isn't a miner. I think DeFi is really attractive to a lot of people, and financial incentives are obviously really important in sustaining these kinds of systems. People are driven by incentive. So I guess my question with the lending aspect is, if the mining block rewards are used as fees, is there still an incentive for a miner to mine in that case?
Yeah, there is. So miners don't just receive the block reward. Now, well, first of all, let's just talk about fees in general. Miners already mined pools with fees, like 1% to 2% at least. So fees shouldn't be, you know, a foreign aspect for miners in general. I don't imagine fees being uncompetitive from centralized pools in Lithos anyway. But, you know, even besides that point, miners don't just receive ERG or whatever blockchain they're mining, because Lithos can support multiple blockchains. But they receive also the Lithos token when they mine on Lithos. So just there's an extra value add that sort of balances out the fee. And then we can talk about things like FIMOs, which are possible with collateralization, and just general, you know, the sort of stuff that we did with subpooling and getblock. All of that is still possible. So there's many different ways for miners to gain value out of Lithos. And those fees are really just to help ensure that the protocol stays decentralized. There needs to be an incentive for lenders to, you know, help collateralize their liquidity and make the entire protocol decentralized because of it.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. I think because Ergo is a proof of work system where there isn't an inherent reward, like on Cardano, for example, with proof of stake. Cardano holders can just stake their ADA and they leave it and it accumulates rewards over time. Whereas on Ergo, there's more of a drive to sort of seek some kind of return for a regular user. And I think this, among other lending protocols that we're seeing pop up in development, really expand that DeFi market. And I'm really excited about that personally. I'll be really, really excited to see Lithos protocol sort of fit into that that mosaic as well. But maybe we can talk about the token a little bit more. I know a lot of people have a distaste for tokenized projects, but from reading the light paper, my understanding is it will sort of function as a reward, and then it's also required for collateralization. Is that kind of correct?
Right. So that's kind of the main focus of the token, though there's a few others. But in general, miners are going to be receiving the Lithos token just by mining on the decentralized pool. And then lenders who want to gain yield on their ERG or whatever token they want to collateralize, they're going to use the Lithos token in order to collateralize their liquidity, whatever they decide to collateralize, whether it be ERG, maybe Bitcoin, some other token for FIMO or something. But that in general is sort of the main point of the token, but also there's a few other important purposes. So Lithos is a layer two protocol. And it's, if you want to get into the specifics, it's an optimistic rollup. So because of that, there's a few different things that rollups sort of need. For one, we need to make sure that the protocol isn't spammed with all the NISPs, which we'll get into later. But to help fight spam, we're going to be using Lithos token as a sort of transaction fee to pay for data space on the protocol. Besides that, if you're a sequencer, so sequencers are kind of like block producers on layer ones, but really what they do is they collect all the data and they post it onto the blockchain. So sequencers, they'll also be able to earn Lithos as part of the block reward every time a block is found on the Lithos pool. Part of it is going to go to the sequencer. And what the sequencer does is they're collecting all of the different shares that the miners are submitting to them. And they're posting it onto the blockchain. And so really, Lithos is going to be a reward for sequencers as well. And it's also going to serve as collateral for posting all of these NISPs onto the blockchain. And that's because it's an optimistic rollup. And I don't want to get too deep into that. It's a little bit complicated, but for making sure that fraud doesn't happen, or, you know, people posting fake data, that's really what the Lithos token does there. It serves as collateral so that anybody who posts fake data onto the blockchain, they get punished for it, essentially.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, we could go deep into any of this stuff. Real quick, maybe for people who don't know, what is a FIMO?
Yeah, so it's a fair initial mining offering. And I didn't come up with that name. I think it was Luca from QuapSwap. But it's sort of like the equivalent of an ISPO, but with mining pools. That's really the gist of it. So you can kind of set up a mining pool that will allow miners to mine your token, and you can receive fees potentially, or you could set up something else. There's a lot of different possibilities with it, but in general, it's the same as an ISPO, just on a proof of work blockchain.
Yeah, I think there's been some cases made that it would help with the whole security debate, whether that's important to you or not. It's, you know, with tokens, it's something to consider. But you've mentioned NISPs a few times, and I know they used to be called SNISPs, and it was too hard to pronounce. So maybe we can get into NISPs now, and the shares that you were talking about before, representing the portion of the pool. I guess it would be helpful to just sort of talk about what a share is and then what NISPs are I know it's hard because it's pretty complicated, but just from a high level, maybe you can explain how that's been designed.
Yeah, no problem. So with mining pools, essentially, miners are connecting, and what the mining pool's job is it's supposed to figure out how much work each miner has produced and then pay them out accordingly. So to do that, mining pools use shares. So if you think of a normal proof of work blockchain, there's sort of a difficulty level of how hard of a problem is to solve. And that's called the difficulty, really. And what it does is it goes up and down, and it essentially makes the proof of work puzzle harder or easier to solve. And that's done to ensure that, the blockchain has an average block time. For Ergo, it's around 2 minutes. So what shares are, it's sort of a proof of work puzzle using an easier difficulty level. And the reason for that is that miners can easily create a ton of shares, which are, they're essentially blocks that wouldn't pass, the puzzle to solve a block normally. They're a block that solves an easier puzzle, and the mining pool sort of collects all of these different shares together, and it counts all of them, and it pays you out accordingly to how many shares you produced. Now, what a NISP is, it's a way to sort of compress that data down. So for normal mining pools, normal miners, you could rack up like thousands, hundreds of thousands of shares while mining. And that's a ton of data to try and post on the blockchain and verify in a smart contract. It's just not feasible at all. So NISPs, essentially, what they do is they try and solve that problem. And what NISP stands for, it's non-interactive share proof. So it's a way of compressing all these shares down so that you can post it onto the blockchain and verify that a miner did a certain amount of work, and do all that within a smart contract. Now, I mean, I can get into the details. It's sort of just like something to do with difficulty and statistics.
Yeah, we don't have to go super nitty gritty.
Yeah.
That's a good enough overview. That's the portion that we were talking about with Rob earlier, where we're trying to eliminate the centralized database, essentially. Thank you for all that information, Kira. That's super helpful. And the insight that you have as sort of the designer of this stuff is really valuable. Something that I wanted to ask, like, I think with GetBlock, the expense of running that infrastructure was fairly high, and that was part of what led to the retiring of the pool. How does this differ? Like, this to me seems like any pool could adopt this kind of this protocol and use it, like two miners or hero miners. Like, how do you see this fitting into the current proof of work community on Ergo? Any of you guys could answer this.
Yeah, let me start that one off, and then I want Karat to kind of jump in and talk a little bit about details. But, the way I kind of see it is, the pool operators almost would become the lenders that provide collateral, right? And they would be the ones that would be, in a sense, hosting the pool and providing collateral. And, again, it could be a mining pool. It could be anyone, right? So, I think, from that aspect, I think that's how mining pools would necessarily fit in. They can still maintain their identity, but I think that's how they would participate in this protocol. And if you think about it, the way pools work now, they kind of are already doing that in a sense, especially with Ergo. So Ergo, as many know, has a standard 720 confirmation process, right, in order to confirm transactions. So what happens is, obviously 720 confirmation, it's about 24 hours in order to process a block, and that's a long time, right? Miners want their payouts quickly, so most pools, they reduce their confirmations. I don't know, the average is anywhere from like 36 to 72 confirmations. And they promote 10 times faster and et cetera. But what they do is they're kind of front loading or providing liquidity to the pool's wallet that pays out the miners. So they're kind of front loading that wallet. So when the blockchain says there's 36 confirmations on that transaction, it automatically pays out the miners at that point in time because there's funds available. So I mean, the process is a lot different actually, but I think that it's still a similar activity as what they're used to doing now. And then aside from that, I think that they'll have additional value on top of that, due to all the other, kind of DeFi benefits that Kurat has just kind of explained, that the ones that host a protocol would actually be able to obtain. So I mean that from my viewpoint, that's how I kind of see this protocol fitting in the proof of work mining space. But Karat, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, so I'd say there's a few things to think about. So for one, I imagine most miners are probably don't want to host their own node to some extent, because it can be a hassle sometimes, occasionally, especially if you have your node, if you want to run a node and you have like Hive or something, that's kind of annoying. I don't even know if that's possible even, actually. But so, one way that mining pools can kind of fit in here is that they can essentially host stratums like they normally do. And, miners who want to get some of the benefits of Lithos but don't necessarily want to self-host a node, they can connect to those stratums normally. And it provides, just an easier experience, especially if you're just starting off. Another thing, outside of just collateralization for the mining pools, they can also act as sequencers on the rollup that Lithos is, providing. So they can earn block rewards in that sense by posting all of the different NISPs onto the blockchain. So yeah, I'd say there's a few different ways that mining pools can kind of transfer over to Lithos compared to what they're running right now.
Yeah, and I think earlier you mentioned the possibility of MEV is kind of opened up by this, and that alone is pretty substantial, and provides an incentive for miners to run their own node. I think that's a big underrated part of how Ethereum sort of grew, is the ability to extract profit from block sequencing. I didn't realize, like, I didn't see anything about that in the white paper, so I'm super interested in that. That I think that'll be really, really interesting to watch. It'll also be interesting to watch if the big mining pools kind of get on board with that too, because they would have an incentive to do that sequencing and make more profit out of that.
Yeah, like you just mentioned, I mean, we saw that grow significantly with Ethereum. It was very popular, and most of the large pools, they jumped on that pretty quickly. So I can see that being something that they would want to adopt as well.
Yeah, for sure. As far as the earlier you mentioned, pools will sort of speed up the confirmation time that for payouts. So, and they're kind of acting as the lender in that case. If there's some kind of lending dApp that is created with like a front-facing web UI, how would those payouts, how would the confirmation time be determined there? Is that something that could be part of the lending process, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that's actually really interesting because of the way the lending works. And to kind of break it down, it's essentially you're locking up some amount of ERG inside a smart contract. And then what the miner is doing is within the block that they're mining, they're inserting a transaction that immediately spends that collateral and pays it out to the mining pool. Or rather, the mining pool smart contract. And at the same time, the actual block reward of the block itself that comes from Ergo, that's going to the lender to pay them back. So what's really happening here is that the mining pool immediately receives their reward, and the lender gets their ERG back 24 hours after the block is mined. So you could say that for miners, at least, this is essentially a zero confirmation time payment in a way.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining. Like, that in itself makes it competitive for miners who want that payout quicker. And I don't think lenders mind waiting. You know, that's kind of the name of the game with lending. So that's also super interesting. Just inherent by design, it's kind of competitive in that way. I don't have any more questions. I would love to know if anyone in the audience has specific questions, or if there's anything else you guys want to add before we sort of poll the audience.
No, I mean, I think you have it pretty well covered. I think, the project's obviously in its infancy stage, so we do have a light paper out there, so please check that out. Working on a white paper and some additional details, so, you know, stay tuned. We'll be publishing that soon, and there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, I would say in general, that's about it, really, in terms of the lending and the NISPs. But I mean, I'd be open to hearing questions from the audience as well.
Yeah, we can see if there's any speaking requests that pop up here. In the meantime, I know it's super early days for you guys, and everybody else always wants to know when things are coming. Obviously, there's no roadmap, but how, to me, it seems like a fairly substantial project, and I'd be curious to know if you have any thoughts on, is this like within a year, or what are you guys thinking?
I'd say hopefully within the next 6 to 8 months, we can get an MVP out. And my vision for the MVP right now is to get a basic sort of NISP-based pool with the entire protocol kind of working in total. Oh, hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So in general, that's really what we want. We want, for right now, for the MVP, I'm guessing that third-party pools, so, pools opening the stratums up and allowing miners to connect across the internet, that won't be out just yet, but miners will be able to run their own node and connect to the pool just like that, and they'll get all the benefits of running their own node as well. And then, that's really the MVP, getting a basic Ergo pool out. Then after that, we're going to start working on allowing people to create multiple pools, allowing for third-party pools. And then eventually we'll expand out to other blockchains, because the NISP idea in general, it's blockchain agnostic. So it can work for any proof of work blockchain like Bitcoin, Flux. You can essentially create decentralized pools out of all of that. And all of those pools will end up being settled on Ergo itself.
That's interesting. Does that extend to, or could that extend to non-proof of work chains, or is it specifically for proof of work share settlement?
Well, I mean, it's a mining pool protocol, so it's only going to work for, it's only going to apply to proof of work blockchains, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but still, that's super interesting. So Bitcoin transactions could be kind of settled on a layer two roll up on Ergo. That's pretty incredible to think about. Yeah, that's very cool. Now, if there's anyone in the audience who's got questions, I would love to sort of open up the mic. Let's see if anyone's brave enough to step up. Luca, I see you in the audience. I know you got something you want to say. Oh, we got a speaker request here. Sigmanauts, you can go first.
Hey, it's Sigmanauts here. This is QX. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing great. I appreciate you jumping on here.
Oh, great, great. No, great talk, guys. This is fantastic. Just a basic quick question here. What's this rollout look like for the average miner? Like, what are your plans for, you know, it's a fairly complicated thing to, for people to wrap their head around. What are your plans for, you know, the kind of education aspect of this for the front end to be able to allow, you know, the normal Joe to be able to grasp the concept and go from there?
Yeah, so, I mean, it really depends. Once we get, you know, third-party connections out and people are able to connect to different stratums, then in that case, you might not even notice too much what's going on. Pools will be able to host their own UIs to show all the stats that are normally possible. And in general, it should be a pretty smooth user experience. Now, if you want some of the benefits of hosting your own node, essentially we'll have a sort of a reference client for the Lithos protocol. And essentially you'll be able to run that reference client. You'll be able to run an Ergo node. And using that, you'll still be able to see all the stats. We'll set it up so that you can see, you know, your hash rate, your shares, all of that stuff. And in general, we're aiming to make this as smooth a transition as possible for miners, and try to make it so that it's not too complicated. Because yeah, definitely in the, you know, in the back end and the smart contracts and everything, it does get pretty complicated. There's a lot of different things going on, but you know, part of our goal is to make it easy to deal with and, you know, easy to understand for the average miner.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think making things as accessible as possible, especially with something kind of new and intimidating, is hugely important. So really looking forward to that. QX, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Am I mistaken in thinking that this is gonna, or maybe you already spoke of it, I'm sorry, I was about 90% here, but 10% away momentarily. Is this part of the protocol that also allows for some sort of built-in independent voting on Ergo, as far as that goes, if that's integrated at all on the Ergo chain, at least?
Right. So for Ergo, it's part of the collateralization, really. So because it's a collateralized mining pool, people are able to run their own nodes and produce their own blocks. So you're able to choose what votes you want on EIPs, and you're able to choose how the transactions are ordered as well.
And sorry to interrupt, but how would the average miner connecting to this kind of thing do that? That would be the responsibility of the mining pool to educate them on how to change their vote there? Isn't it overwriting the header there as something to mine to?
Yeah, so it'd be the same as changing the vote normally. So I'm guessing most miners might not be experienced with that yet. It's usually a mining pool thing. But it's as simple as going into your node's config and adding like a number or two. That's about it.
And just as a small miner that I am, I just want to say that's an amazing concept to not have to worry about switching pools if they don't agree with what you want to vote for, and just doing it yourself and continue mining on that. That's fantastic.
Russell, welcome. I appreciate you coming up here to speak. Do you have a question?
Yeah, hi. My question was, when I was listening then, I heard you say about ERG holders being able to lend ERG to miners and potentially receive some sort of yield. Would you be able to explain that a bit better and kind of like give an estimate percentage on what ERG lenders could get?
Yeah, so I can't really give an estimated percentage per se, because the way it's going to be set up is it's going to be an open market, and depending on market conditions, percentages may rise or fall. In general, I expect them to be competitive with normal mining pools, centralized ones. That's about 1% to 2% per block. So you're gaining 1% to 2% of the block reward every time. Now that could be, you could gain more potentially depending on if the mining pool is mining tokens or something and you're lending those tokens out. But you know, the way it really works is you're locking up, you know, chunks of ERG or whatever token you're collateralizing, and you can just let it sit. Miners have the choice of choosing your collateral, and if they choose your collateral, then it's essentially paid to the pool, and you're gaining the block reward out of it because of it.
All right. Okay. What is this like? Whole that process called? So, if I wanted to look at it more, I'd be able to go and find out more.
If you want to get into the details, there's a paper by Kushti. I don't remember its exact name. Let me. I can look around for it, and I'll try and bring it to you, maybe. But it's about, was it? It's breaking non-outsourceability. And this collateralization thing, this is actually the reason that Ergo as a blockchain has switched to Autolycus 2. It's because people in Autolycus 1 were making collateralized mining pools and essentially bypassing the whole non-outsourceability aspect of it. So you can look into that paper by Kushti, and that'll give you more of, you know, an in-depth discussion of how collateralization works in general.
Yeah, if you're looking for more info about just Lithos itself, it's still super early. They put out the light paper, I think, a week ago. And there's not any real sort of fine detail in there. But earlier in the space, they mentioned they'll be drafting a white paper. Not sure when that will be out, but yeah, it's still very early, and I think details about how the lending process work and collateralization and all that will come in time.
And yeah. That white paper that Karat just mentioned, I did post that or tweeted it connected to this space, so anyone who's interested in reviewing that can find the link there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we'll also have like a Medium page with articles that are, you know, easy to understand for people. And that way we'll go into all the details of what we talked today, and we'll go into it a bit more in depth, so that it's easy to understand, but you're able to understand, you know, the value of all these different parts of the protocol and how everything sort of fits together.
Awesome. Russell, thank you for stepping up. Great questions. Yeah, providing sort of basic breakdowns of how this is going to work for somebody who might want to step in and participate and maybe make a small return on their ERG. You know, I think most in the community would be pretty interested in doing something like that. So yeah, looking forward to the articles and the breakdowns. Is there anyone else who's got a question or would like to say anything? If not, Kirit and Rob, thank you guys so much for coming up here and sort of sharing the details and breaking down what you guys are doing. I know it's super early, so details will be coming. Maybe maybe you can mention the logo contest real quick.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we have a little logo contest that's going on right now. It's actually in our Telegram. And yeah, it's ending at the end of this week. We're just, you know, open to the community, you know, looking for submissions. We have quite a few submissions already. And yeah, just, you know, getting some community involvement around the project. And there's some rewards against it as well. So Karat and I, you know, we put a little pool together. I think it's up to, you know, 50 ERG, and we've got some other projects that contributed tokens as well. So, yeah, jump in our chat and check it out. And if you're an artist or, you know, are interested in participating, please feel free.
Yeah, and anybody interested can can go to the Lithos Protocol Twitter, who's co-hosting right now, and they should have links posted there for Telegram, the GitHub with the white paper, everything you guys need. So, yeah, thank you again for coming up here. And unless anybody else has a question, I think we can probably end it there.
All right. No, great. Thanks for having us. I appreciate everyone's time, and stay tuned for more.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care.